Newt Maddox is a producer and director of multi-award-winning documentaries. His latest film, Jen Silent, addresses LGBT elderly who go back into the closet to survive in the healthcare system. Hi, Stu.
Hi, Charlotte. Good to be here.
How are you?
Good.
Tell us about Jen Silent.
Well, we think we've got a good little documentary here. We've been following a handful of LGBT seniors in the Boston area for the past 12 to 18 months as they kind of go through the process of needing help in getting around in their day-to-day life or their partners and facing some tough decisions about whether they go back into the closet or stay as out as they have been much of their lives. And it's been some surprising results.
I had a chance to look at your trailer. I was really very moved by it. I mean, it was just really upsetting to think that people are being forced to go back into the closet just to have health care benefits.
Yeah, and it's kind of a twofold problem we found. It's not just that there may be discrimination on the part of whoever's providing the health care for you. It's also a lot of folks have a lifetime of fears around, you know, institutions and places like that where they've been used to getting discriminated against much of their life. But, you know, in the pre-Stonewall days, a hospital could incarcerate you or give you electroshock therapy, for goodness sake, for admitting that you were a homosexual.
Have you found a lot of problems with nursing homes in the Boston area?
We've had anecdotal stories of folks trying to convert LGBT seniors at their bedside, or older folks deciding to just kind of withdraw from all their gay and lesbian friends and not let them visit them at the nursing home for fear that they might be found out, even by fellow residents there. I wouldn't say that Boston is more different than any other place out there. This is not just a nationwide problem. It's really creating a lot of interest all over the world. We get emails each day from people wanting to know more about what we've found.
How did you become involved with LGBT aging issues?
It had to do with relationship issues, like all things do, right? I was in my mid-30s, and I was, just like so many of my other friends, not really able to figure out why I couldn't have a successful long-term relationship. And I started looking for examples of people who've spent their lives together, and I couldn't find that many. And you hear of them occasionally. Everybody knows of a friend who knows somebody, but it wasn't like everybody having a set of grandparents out there who, you know, you could turn to and ask, hey, how did you do this? And so I made a film about a couple who had been together more than 50 years. They met in the military back in, you know, the McCarthy era. They were, one was the other's commanding officer, and they've had a successful relationship. And what I learned from that was that why was I having this question inside of my head about why I couldn't have successful relationships, you know? Well, it was because I didn't have enough examples out there like them. Well, why was that? Well, that was because a lot of people are out there not being visible with their relationships and their life stories and our LGBT history. And as I dug into it more, I realized that the reasons were not insidious, really. It was because they had been pushed back into the closet.
What kind of ageism have you encountered within the LGBT community?
You know, some of the experts that we've interviewed for this tell great stories about how older folks, say in their 70s, talk about how this is never going to happen to them. They're always talking about how older is always 10 years after where you are right now. So that's the way it is everywhere. But in our community, it seems like there's such a huge disconnection between folks who are younger and folks who have all the life experience who are older. And I think that makes it very tough for us as a culture to kind of know where we came from, and makes it a lot easier for us as a culture to be marginalized, you know, because of this disconnection. You know, it's easy when you don't have a history to marginalize a group.
You know, when I was living in New York City, I lived on Madison Avenue, and there were these two guys who used to run a little shop there that had been together for about 50, 60 years. They had been together since World War II. And I used to call them my gay granddads, and I used to go in there and visit them as if I was having a chance to really visit with my own grandparents. And they would tell me the most amazing stories, and I just really wish that people had that kind of access.
Oh, Charlotte, that's perfect. I mean, that's exactly what I think everybody, I wish I'd had, and I think everybody should have, is somebody, the next door neighbor, the person who runs the shop, like you said, you can, you know, you can have that conversation about how did you do it, what was it like, what do you think I should do? I wish I had gay grandparents, just like, you know, that was a good way to put it.
Well, that's how I felt about them. I just used to love to go in there and talk to them about my little escapades in New York City with them, too. And they would give me advice. And it was just such a really important mentoring relationship that I had when I was living in New York.
So you feel that was really valuable to you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to love their stories because they used to tell me about Fire Island in the, you know, in the 40s when, you know, they would take the ferry out to the Pines and Betty Grable was on the ferry. And I was just like, tell me more, you know. I mean, those stories were just invaluable. And also because a lot of people used to come into their shop, like, you know, Claudette Colbert and people like that. And I was just totally in awe and fascinated by stories like that. And so I just spent a lot of time with it, and it was just a really wonderful relationship.
See, I think that's what our LGBT culture needs, is this happening just like that thousands of times a day. It's, you know, like the history is more than just a timeline on a website or a museum exhibit or a documentary film or whatever. It's like those conversations you're talking about where you have one-on-ones with people who came before you, and you pass that on to the next person. Oral history, it's really important to all of us.
So what is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I guess, have an activist bent toward making this intergenerational connection in our culture. You know, and it is a culture, and we should not be trying to mainstream ourselves to the point where we lose sight of how unique we are, you know.